Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
It's nice to be invited over to a friend's house. And Deacon Steve and Marianne Greco have a fresh pot brewing and a comfy chair waiting for you. So kick back, relax, and get ready to soak in God's Word with some good friends. It's The Bible and You with Deacon Steve and Marianne Greco.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco.
And Marianne.
And welcome to The Bible and You.
Another exciting week, let me guess.
I am just beyond comprehension excited.
I know. This one, there's a lot of things in the scriptures that are really wonderful for us.
There is just so much in here that is absolutely amazing, and each of the readings is so powerful. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray, Lord God, for an open heart. We pray, Lord God, for our heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray for our eyes to be open, our ears to be open, our heart, our brain to be open to receive the Word of God deep within our souls. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And hallelujah. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Well, I have to get all the alleluias in before Lent, right?
Okay. Well, I'd like to say something a little bit about the reading before you read it. It was written about 515 BC, and it was when the Jews returned from Babylon exile in about 538 BC, they found Jerusalem just totally in ruins. The temple, the walls, its houses, and the sight of seeing everything really ruined could bring gloom and doom and despair upon the people rather than the rejoicing in the fact that God has taken them back and returning. So God sends this prophet to speak words of encouragement, to cheer up the people, to tell them that there's better times ahead.
Speak words of hope. And, you know, you may be going through a really difficult time. So many people are with COVID and what's happening in the world. But just know that that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. There's a season, sometimes of trials, but there's a season of hope, a season of encouragement, a season of restoration. And that's what's so important to understand. Just keep praising God. Keep telling Him how much you love Him. Keep being aware of the fact that with faith, mountains are moved. So let's take a look at the reading.
Okay.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Her vindication shines forth like the dawn, and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, one of the things I want to point out first is that it calls for the sake of Jerusalem not be quiet. And it also talks about Zion. And Zion is really another name for Jerusalem. Zion was actually the mountain on the other mountain where King David resided. And so when he talks about Zion, he's talking about Jerusalem, in particular the political side. And so he's talking about bringing back Zion or Jerusalem after they have broken promises, which is why they got into exile. And he's saying, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to give you a new name. Well, how often do we see God give new names?
Remember that Jesus constantly is saying to us in scripture, Behold, I make all things new, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are a new wineskin. We know through baptism that we're given a name, and often that name may be the same, but may be different too. And we know in throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that names were changed.
Well, in a significant time in their life. And so that's what's happening here. But what's really exciting is he gives the name of the spouse, which is really like a spouse. And he's saying, I am like the bridegroom who's welcoming the virgin on his marriage. You are my bride. And this is not like these people have sinned greatly against God. They've turned away against God. And yet they've, you know, God is welcoming him back with his mercy and love, as with the enthusiasm as though they were not with sin.
It's so important to understand that God's mercy is bigger than anything you can ever imagine. Think about standing at the seashore and having some drops in your hand, drops of water, and then look at the ocean. Well, those drops of water may be your sins. The ocean is the mercy of God. There's just no comparison. And so despite the fact that the Israelis sinned, and that's a big reason why what happened happened, Jesus doesn't hold that sin against them forever. He allows the sin to take root and to take its course. But then he comes in to make this change. And all of a sudden he's saying that things are dramatically different.
Yeah, he's going to accept them, bring them back with enthusiasm, even though they've had all these broken promises. I think that's really something for us to remember when we fall short, that God is right there ready to bring us back. But what happens is, so often as what happened in history, is people forget about being how much God has done for them and forgiven them and forgiven them mercy. And then they just get involved in the world and go on in their own ways. And I think that that's true of us today.
Well, they think they're the center of the universe, Marianne. You know, that's part of the problem. And all of us at times have a temptation that whatever we do is going to make all the difference, rather than turning to God and realize, as it says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. So the reality is that God is at the center of the universe. With God, all things are possible. Without God, we just drift away into sin. It's the vine and the branches.
Yeah, and we just get so busy and involved in trying to make our own heaven on earth that we forget the real message is he sent us Jesus so that we would be in kingdom with the Lord for eternity. And it's just, it's pretty incredible how we can forget, but throughout history, it happens over and over. So let us be aware of that in our lives today.
I want to go again, and I really want you to read John 15 over and over again. First verse, I am the true vine, as my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that he does prune so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me, and as I remain in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. That's John 15, verses 1 to 5. Bottom line is this, you are connected to Jesus. You may not want to be connected to Jesus, even though you should want to be, but you are connected to Jesus. And when you're connected to Jesus and you do his will, you bear fruit. When you move away from him, then you don't bear fruit. And nothing good ultimately is going to happen unless you're connected to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, the responsorial song. Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Give to the Lord your families of nations. Give to the Lord glory and praise. Give the Lord the glory due his name.
Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the people with equity. Proclaim his marvelous deeds to all the nations.
Well, my only comment is, you know, to ask myself, is you can ask yourself, our listeners, do you do these things? Do you proclaim the Lord to all nations of the marvelous deeds? Do you talk about the marvelous deeds God has done for you in your life? I don't think I do it enough.
The peace, the joy, the love of Jesus Christ is normal Christianity. To have the joy that passes all understanding. When we have joy, we want to sing out. That's why I constantly go, Alleluia, Alleluia, because when joy enters my heart, I want to proclaim that by praising Him, by loving Him.
Well, I guess that is to sing to the Lord a new song. You know, sometimes we're always asking God for something, yeah, or you know, complaining or whatever. And here it's saying, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord about all the good things He has done in your life and all that. I think, you know, that just changes your whole mindset.
How about this verse? And this is, again, Psalm 96. How about this verse announces salvation day after day? How often do we tell other people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that without Jesus, we cannot get to heaven because Jesus is the person who died and rose again that we may have eternal salvation. So our belief in Him, you know, our turning our souls, our lives to Him is what makes the difference. Tell His glory among the nations, His wondrous deeds. You know, talk about the healing that you've received. His deeds of answered prayers.
His little miracles.
His little miracles.
You know, Steve, some people are embarrassed to talk about their miracles.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, like God has done some. Maybe it's just a tiny little miracle that He gave you a parking lot spot that you prayed for or something. But people are embarrassed to say, oh, I can't. What will people think of me? No. What will people think of God? If you share with them what God is doing in your life, He will do in their lives as well.
Please go to spiritfulhearts.org. Take a look at the 7 books I've written, Expecting Experience Miracles, Overcoming Adversity Through Miracles, and on. Most of my books are all about God's supernatural intervention in our lives. Read them and share them with other people, because the bottom line is this, is the fact that God is there wanting to shower His blessings upon you, but we have to be open to it.
Amen. Let's go on. We have so much to cover.
A reading from the book, First Letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all in them and everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts by healing by the one Spirit. To another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, varieties of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all these, distribute them individually to each person as He wishes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'd like to give a little bit of background. Corinth was a Roman colony. It was very prosperous, but it was morally corrupt, just really bad. It was a port town, and so you had a lot of sailors coming in and a lot of cults going on there, pagan cults. So Paul went in about 50 AD, and he made converts, which was hard at that time, and he stayed there about 2 years. And then he left, and he went to Ephesus, which is where we think he wrote this letter. And he did it to correct abuses that he had heard about that the Corinthians were doing. And he's, you know, just saying, God has given us marvelous gifts and let's use them correctly. That's why I think he talks to us today as well.
So this is one of the most important chapters in the New Testament. And as Marianne and I were talking about before this filming, we have given all-day seminars just on this chapter, all day.
Yeah.
So there's so much we can talk about, but one of the most important things is the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is real. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit has gifts and manifestations that He wants to empower you with. Remember Acts 1:8 says you will receive power, which translated as dynamis or dynamite in Greek. And then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So in order to be His witness, We have to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Greater faith.
Wait, there's nine of them listed here. I wanted to comment, but but that's not the end of the list, because there's other places in the scripture that add to the list. And then there are things that we've even seen in today's world that aren't mentioned. So it's a wider list, but these are the main nine to start with, I'd say.
So tell us more about it.
Well, I'd say that the first one you said, they're all different gifts, but they're all to serve the community, mm-hmm. to build up each other and the community. And he produces them. And he gives the first one, it's mentioned, is the expression of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And then he also talks about knowledge. Well, I pray that my family has the gift of wisdom. And by that, I don't mean wisdom of the world. We're talking the supernatural gift of wisdom and knowledge. And knowledge, the supernatural gift that he's talking about, is knowing what God, something that you ordinarily wouldn't know, something that God has revealed to you to maybe help someone. Like when we pray for someone, sometimes you say
Well, you have words that basically pop in your mind about given healings, given blessings that person needs. You know, to have a word of knowledge essentially means the fact that God has given you an insight. I was going through a really hard time, and my friend Ted was in Paris, France, and the Lord said, pick up the phone and call Deacon Steve right now. And so sure enough, he called me, and I said, I can't believe you called me to give me encouragement because I need it so much. Well, he said, the Lord told me to call you. You know, and I've had those circumstances, and so have you.
Yeah, and I'd say that the gift of wisdom and knowledge go hand in hand, because you can have knowledge but not know what to do with it. But if you pray for wisdom, it's like knowing what God wants you to do with that knowledge. And so the gift of wisdom is great. It's like you are in the stock markets and you could know everything about the stock markets, but you wouldn't know what to do with it unless you had wisdom. That's the world's wisdom, but we have God's wisdom. Imagine if we prayed wisdom, Holy Spirit wisdom for our family, how much it could change their lives and making their decisions and following God.
Now, one of the most important things we have to realize is that these are gifts that God wants to give us. How do we get them? Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. So another gift again is faith. Charismatic faith, or faith that you know, like the centurion, say but the word and it shall be done.
Yeah, that's a hard one, because they say, well, I have faith or I work on my faith, but the charismatic gift of faith is just like you said, you know that you know. It's given to people sometimes when they know that a prayer will be answered or something like that. It's just that they know. And
how do you get it is the most important thing. You have to ask for it. You ask for all of these gifts. Give me, Lord, the gift of wisdom. Give me, Lord, the gift of faith. Why? That I may build up your church, that I may glorify you through whatever knowledge that you give me. The gift of healing, that I may pray over people, as we've done for 40 years and had so many miracles happen.
And there's different kinds of healings, physical, spiritual, emotional, and sometimes healings happen instantly. But more likely, the healings are over a period of time and after soaking prayer and continual prayer. And sometimes we don't see the healing because they're spiritual or emotional, but those are really important. So,
in my book, Expecting Experience Miracles, we talk about seven different kinds of miracles, which is mighty deeds.
Now, that's the mighty deeds one. Yeah, that's another gift.
Yeah, that's another gift. Of miracles, another gift again of prophecy, building up the church, having a word. This is what I think the church should do. You know, our parish should do.
It doesn't mean fortune telling.
No.
Get that out. It's not like, they're telling prophecy. It's a gift of knowing what God's will is.
And then one of the most important right now is discernment of spirits.
Oh, amen.
Is it me? Is it God? Is it the enemy? You know, what's going on? How do I discern those thoughts pop in my head? What I should do or not do,
I pray for that for my family as well.
Very important.
Yeah, really important. And you only need to know two things. You basically, are you going to follow God's will or are you going to follow your will or the devil's will? So basically, you just have to figure out what's God's will.
Amen. And then, of course, tongues and interpretation of tongues. You know, tongues is something, again, that many people have. There's estimated 250 million people in the world. And it is something, again, to help build yourself up and pray differently in terms of prayer within us to the Father.
It can be understanding foreign languages that you don't know. And, you know, I've heard stories of things happening today that has happened, as well as speaking in tongues that you don't know. And like you said, it's to build yourself up. And the gift of interpretation of tongues is really for the community again. And that's like being able to interpret what God has said. And the Corinthians were really abusing the praying in tongues a lot because they thought it was pretty neat and kind of went crazy with
it. As you imagine, we're kind of going through this quickly because there's so much. Go to spiritfulhearts.org. Go to our CDs. We have lots and lots of CDs that go into this in much, much greater detail and experience the knowledge that you have. So, but let's.
Yeah, I just want to say we're in a war with the, you know, evil. And certainly to have these gifts is like having power tools, you know, that we can.
We need to
ask for them and we need to use them. So we really encourage you to look them up, study them. If one is hitting you more, then go with that. You know,
remember 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. And bottom line is this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why my radio show is called Empowered by the Spirit. Because we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit to fight off the enemy, to build up the body of Christ.
Now, in this next gospel reading, I wanted to say that this is in the Gospel of John, and it's the only story of Cana in the Gospels, in John. And we think that's because John was on the cross. Jesus said, behold your mother to John. And Mary went to live with John, and he probably had these stories that he was closer. So he felt it was important to include this in his gospel.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've been there, to Cana,
yep.
And it's a quaint little town. And it's really exciting because when you go in, when you go to the part that was the synagogue during the time, you can actually see vessels and the size of them.
They're huge.
Yeah.
They're huge. 20 to 30 gallons. Potentially 90 gallons of wine was created. I mean, they're absolutely amazing, but that's what God does in his miracles.
Well, what's interesting too is like weddings lasted at least 7 days.
Right.
And if you left the wedding to go get wine, the wedding was,
it was broken.
That was it, end of wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the responsibility of the groom to provide enough food for the feast and wine, but it also people would bring stuff and wine was like the natural drink of the day. It was kind of like water. And generally, they would serve the best wine first. And as people drank more, and then they'd serve the watered-down wine last, mm-hmm. and people wouldn't really know the difference. And here, we have this example of, Jesus turns it into even better wine. I think that's a great thing. I like to go back to the beginning of the story. Mary notices that this couple is going to face embarrassment. She's got an eye for and a heart for us, too.
For marriages, for families.
Yeah.
And she's interceding. Remember, she's teaching us about interceding. She goes to Jesus and asks Jesus to do something, which is what we do, but she's certainly led by the Father to do this, to go to her son and ask. And you know, one thing people have gotten concerned, woman, how does this, your concern affect me, as being kind of almost sarcastic. But that was just kind of a normal way of discussion at that point.
Yeah, it wasn't. And he says, my hour has not yet come. He's thinking of his hour when his full glory is going to be after the resurrection, really. And he's going, you know, it's not time for that, because that would... There's a in the Old Testament a thing about wine and being and the bridegroom serving wine at the coming of the Messiah. But you know, he hasn't started his public ministry yet. Now Mary had to know that Jesus was capable of doing this.
Of course. I mean she knew through revelation that Jesus was going to do this public ministry, and many miracles would flow through him.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting, he kind of says, in a way, we take it as a no, but he doesn't say no directly to her. But she turns to the servants, and she says something that is a word for us as well. And she says, do whatever he tells you.
Now, I want to go back to the second reading, 1 Corinthians 12, because that is the faith, charismatic faith or powerful faith, that even though Jesus said, my hour is not yet come, she had that faith knowing that he was going to act. And so she acted on that faith by going to the servers, do whatever he tells you.
And boy, if we just follow that, do whatever Jesus tells us to do, how different we would be. So she, in a sense, she's telling him to do this and starting the ministry by showing his power. And what it does, basically, is that a few of the disciples are at the wedding. Jesus says, fill it up to the brim. Fill it with water to the brim. Why to the brim? It'd be harder to carry. But the point is, if it was filled all the way up to brim with water, there is no chance anybody could pour wine in it and make diluted wine. It had to be Jesus changing it into wine.
Yeah.
And so all the way up to the brim, because Jesus is going to do it.
This is the first of seven signs in the Gospel of John. And this sign is meant, and all the signs are meant to prove that Jesus is the Messiah.
Yeah.
He is the anointed one.
There's to stimulate their faith. And the disciples truly got to see this first action. And that's why miracles are there, to stimulate our faith.
Any final thought?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple lessons I learned from this reading. Christ's approval of marriage, how important it is of the marriage that he would take this opportunity to do it at a marriage ceremony. And then the importance of the intercessory prayer of Mary,
Amen.
You know, and what she does for us. And the compassion Jesus had and Mary had for the couple, that they have compassion for us. And Jesus is interested in our affairs and things going on.
And the mercy and love of Jesus. You know, this lesson is extremely important, so I'd ask that you listen to it again.
Yeah.
And share it with your friends. Forward it to your friends. You know, we do this because the Word of God is a sword that cuts through bone and marrow, and the Word of God just enhances our faith in a mighty way. So may Almighty God bless you, your loved ones, your marriages, all your family members, your comings and goings, your ministry. May you be filled with every spiritual blessing and healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. May you be protected against all evil and all sickness. And may you be filled with the glory of God's presence and all the fruit of the Spirit, with greater love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and generosity. May Almighty God bless you and your families. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
And Mary Ann.
And you've been on the Bible
and you.
We'll see you next week. God bless you.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of The Bible and You with Deacon Steve and Mary Ann Greco. Be sure to connect with our Spirit-Filled Hearts Facebook page to catch each and every episode. For more, visit spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
You're listening to the Spirit-Filled Radio Network. Sometime you may feel like your spirit tank is running low.
Stay tuned and fill it up.
St. Joseph plays a huge role in our church. The St. Joseph Summit will equip you with an increased love and understanding of his role within our spiritual walk. You will develop a rich encounter with this saint who protects us, our families, and Holy Mother Church. Get your own access to the St. Joseph Summit, or give it as a gift by going to stjosephsummit.com. That's stjosephsummit.com. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.